Many people die at 25 and aren't buried until they are 75. Heard this somewhere? This famous quote is by the first ever United States Postmaster General, but most of us commonly mistake him as one of the presidents of the United States. Probably that's why he's notably known as the only president who was never a president. Yes, Benjamin Franklin never held the office of presidency. Hello everyone, welcome back to Books.com Lit Gyan with me, Subhashini. Today, I bring you the anecdotes of a simple man from an obscure background who emerged from the wilds of America to dazzle the entire intellectual world from his book, The Autobiography of Benjamin Franklin. Born in Milk Street, Boston on January 6, 1706, Ben was the eighth child of the family. His father, Josiah, had various professions. He was a tallow chandler, a candle maker, a soap boiler, and had a dyeing trade before he moved to American colonies from England along with his second wife, Abiah Folger. She looked after the home and their 10 children. We all know Benjamin Franklin was America's civic leader, but how many of us know his pen name was Miss Doogood? Long before he became a diplomat and top political thinker of his time, at the age of 12, Benjamin worked as an apprentice in his brother James' printing shop. Ben expressed his desire to write for the journal, the New England Courant, which his brother published, but he refused. Left with no other choice, Ben assumed a false identity of a widow named Silence Doogood and started writing letters in her name in defense of freedom of speech. Miss Doogood's popularity grew, which greatly angered his brother when he discovered the prank. Later, when Miss Doogood began to receive marriage proposals from readers, Franklin put an end to it. The only founding father who signed all four documents that led to the formation of the United States, which includes the Declaration of Independence, the Treaty of Alliance with France, the Peace Treaty with Great Britain in 1783, and the United States Constitution, had only 2 years of formal schooling. Can you believe it? Franklin's family couldn't afford him studies, and so he was out of school at 10. He was a self-taught man who always looked for ways to self-improve. Apart from his passion for science and literature, Franklin spoke 5 languages, including English, French, Latin, Italian, and Spanish. Isn't he a natural untutored genius? In colonial America, homes were warmed by a fireplace which required loads of firewood. When Franklin saw this, he invented a stove in 1742, which was a metal-lined fireplace that stood in the middle of a room, providing more heat and less smoke than an open fireplace and used less wood. This cast-iron furnace would radiate heat from the middle of the room in all directions, and the iron walls even absorbed heat, providing warmth to the room long after the fire went out. In 1730, a fire started on a ship and spread to the wharf where all warehouses burned, including 3 neighboring houses. This incident led Franklin to advocate for a community service to help extinguish fires to protect citizens' properties. In 1733, he wrote an article in Pennsylvania Gazette discussing his belief that there was a need for better fire prevention methods and a society or group of organized citizens to prevent and protect property from fires. On December 7, 1736, he co-founded the Union Fire Company. The first brigade was formed by 26 volunteers. Each member brought 6 buckets to carry water and 2 linen bags to rescue property. That's why it's also known as the Benjamin Franklin's Bucket Brigade. This is how he engineered setting up America's first volunteer firefighting association. Franklin was many things in his lifetime: a printer, a postmaster, an ambassador, an author, a scientist, and the founding father of the United States. Above all, he was an inventor, creating solutions to common problems and innovating new technology. A fascination that began as he accidentally shocked himself in 1746 turned his attention to the possibility of protecting buildings and the people inside from lightning strikes. The well-known experiment of flying a kite attached with a metal key in thunderstorm established this. On June afternoon in 1752, the sky began to darken over the city of Philadelphia. Most of the citizens hurried inside, but Benjamin did not. As if he had been waiting for this opportunity, he goes out to demonstrate the electrical nature of lightning, and to do so, he gathers all his materials, a simple kite made with large silk handkerchief, a hem string, a silk string, a Leyden jar, which is a primitive capacitor which could store electric charge for later use, and a sharp length of wire. To the top of the kite, he attaches a wire to act as a lightning rod. To the bottom of the kite, he attaches a hem string, and to that, he attaches a silk string. The last piece of the puzzle was the metal key. The hem, wetted by the rain, would conduct an electrical charge quickly and transmit it to the metal key and from there to the Leyden jar. The dry silk string was held by Franklin. With the help of his son William, he got the kite aloft. Then they waited for the thunderstorm to strike. Franklin moved his finger near the key, and as the negative charges in the metal piece were attracted to the positive charges in his hand, he felt a spark. Using the Leyden jar, Franklin collected that electric fire, as he called it, which could be discharged later. Perhaps this was the most famous experiment that led to the invention of the lightning rod and the understanding of positive and negative charges. The connection between electricity and lightning was known earlier, but not fully understood. He coined the terms conductor, condense, armature, battery, positive charge, negative charge, and discharge. He discovered new ways to generate, store, and deploy electricity. He showed that electricity was a single fluid with positive and negative, or plus and minus charges, and not the traditionally thought two kinds of fluids. After this successful demonstration, Franklin continued his work with electricity, going on to perfect his lightning rod invention. In 1753, he received the prestigious Copley Medal from the Royal Society in recognition of his curious experiments and observations on electricity. He was eager to understand the inner workings of the universe and devised clever means to use his scientific understanding to advantage through his invention and innovations. Including his risky experiment with the kite, Franklin did several others. They too were dangerous, so much so that he nearly died twice. Once when he tried to use electric shock to cure a man of paralysis, and another time when he tried to kill a turkey with electricity. During his days, catheters were rigid metal tubes and quite painful. John, Ben's older brother, suffered from kidney stones, and this inspired Ben to invent a better catheter in 1752 to ease his brother's discomfort. He devised a flexible catheter made of hinged segments of tubes, making it easy to insert and remove. He had a silversmith made this design, and then he promptly mailed it off to his brother. His was an ever curious mind, wanting to know how far he was traveling by carriage during his role as a postmaster between Philadelphia and Boston. Though the concept of odometer dates back to ancient times, Franklin created his own version. His concept was to attach a gear device to the rear wheels of his horse carriage to determine the circumference of the wheel, the number of revolutions required to travel a mile, and have the device register the distance traveled. Every 400 revolutions made by his carriage wheel would cause the device to click ahead 1 mile, that is 1.6 kilometers. Of all my inventions, the glass harmonica has given me the greatest personal satisfaction, wrote Franklin about the musical instrument he designed in 1761. Inspired by English musicians who created sounds by passing their fingers around the brims of glasses filled with water, Franklin worked with the glass blower to recreate the music in a less cumbersome way. While it is still unclear who actually invented the instrument, Franklin is known for perfecting the glass harmonica. His design was so innovative and unique that Beethoven, Strauss, and Mozart composed pieces for it. As we saw earlier, Franklin was a great lover of books. As a child, he saved every penny to buy books. He even turned vegetarian at 16 to conserve money for more books, and by late adulthood, his home was jammed with floor-to-ceiling bookshelves. Though at 5 feet 11 inches, Ben was actually on the taller side, but reaching books on high shelves was a challenge. So, in 1786, the ever-resourceful Franklin solved his problem by inventing the long arm, which is simply a wooden pole with two grasping fingers at the end. By pulling on the cable, he could bring the fingers together to grip a book off a high shelf. How simple, clever, yet effective, isn't it? Eventually, his love for reading and thirst for knowledge led to the formation of the first lending library in America. Among his many other talents, Benjamin was a skilled chess player too. He wrote a well-known essay, The Morals of Chess, that detailed the rules of conduct for playing the game, and he was responsible for making chess a popular sport in America. For this, he was inducted into United States Chess Hall of Fame in 1999. Like most of us, Franklin found that his eyesight was getting worse as he got older, and he had both near and farsightedness. Tired of switching between two pairs of eyeglasses, he invented double spectacles, or what we now call bifocals. He had the lenses from his two pairs of glasses, one for reading and one for distance, sliced into half horizontally and joined them in one frame, with the lens for distance at the top and the one for reading at the bottom. Cool, isn't it? One of the most memorable scenes of his autobiography is the description of his arrival on a Sunday morning, tired and hungry, to Philadelphia. Finding a bakery, he asked for 3 pennies worth of bread and got 3 great puffy rolls. But then, little did he know that he would become a member of the Philadelphia City Council in 1748, Justice of Peace, and a member of the Pennsylvania Assembly. He was the governor of Pennsylvania and also the first United States ambassador to France and Sweden. Between running a print shop, engineering the US postal system, starting America's first lending library, and helping in the American Revolution, Franklin also found time to invent a vast collection of new devices. What's more is, he never patented them. Today, where we crave for recognition for every single and small thing we do, he had proudly announced that anyone who wanted to make money from his ideas was free to do so. Although this decision likely cost him a fortune, he saw his inventions as gifts to the public.
As we enjoy great advantages from the inventions of others, we should be glad of an opportunity to serve others by any invention of ours, and this we should do freely and generously,
he wrote in his autobiography. No wonder he was the most honored American, but also one of the most glorious figures in the Western world of the 18th century. He became the hero of countless early 19th century artisans and self-made businessmen. And when he died in 1790, more than 20,000 people attended his funeral. Indeed, he is one of the most celebrated and influential Americans who has ever lived. By the way, if you heard your parents say, early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise, it's from Franklin's Poor Richard's Almanac, a general interest pamphlet published by him, offering interest and amusement for his readers, including how-to guides, practical tips, stories, astrological forecasts, and brain teasers. Moreover, the concepts described in his pamphlet, a modest inquiry into the nature and necessity of a paper currency, are still being used by the US Federal Reserve and central banks around the world.
Dr. Franklin wrote this autobiography for his son to get acquainted with his ancestors and with the circumstances in his life, but it ends abruptly with the year 1757, leaving important facts unrecorded, which are listed at the end of the book year-wise.
Hope you like this review. And you know where to find me on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube to share your comments. You can send me the list of books you want me to review at books.com/subhashini@gmail.com. Thank you for staying tuned till the end. See you in the next episode of books.com. Till then, sayonara.